Exodus 16, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. So Israel's been out of Egypt for a month now. And there have been some ups and downs during that first month. And the Bible says that they are now entering the wilderness, which means they're heading into another difficult situation. Verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And that is normally what they did. As soon as things got a little rough, instead of praying, instead of trusting God, they started to grumble, they started to complain. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said to them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Every time they run into a difficult situation, they accuse Moses of pre-planning it in order to kill them. Moses is a very patient man. And God, of course, is infinitely patient. For then said the Lord to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. You know, instead of God saying, I've had it with their complaining, he hears their cries, their grumbling over the fact that they didn't have the kind of food that they wanted or didn't have food, and God says, I'll supply it. I'll give them what they need. I'll give them their food every day for that day. Verse 5. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So they were to bring in the same amount of food every day except for the sixth day, twice as much on that day. And that's because they were not to do any work on the seventh. 6. And Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening, then you shall know that the Lord has brought you out from the land of Egypt. Verse 7. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he hears your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? You know, Moses and Aaron are just the servants of God. So they're complaining. They may have thought it was directed at Moses and Aaron. It was directed at God. All complaining is a direct hit at God and his sovereignty. Verse 8, and Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And again, the Israelites complaining about Moses and their circumstances, and that's the way they see it. But what they didn't realize was that they were complaining against God. The Bible says that God is working all things after the counsel of his own will, which means that all complaining about all circumstances is in reality complaining against God. And every time we complain about something, we're saying, God, I don't trust you. Verse 9. And Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. In other words, Israel, you are complaining against God. And Israel, God has heard your complaints. And Israel, God is about to pay you a visit. And having heard that, the Israelites should be very afraid. Verse 10. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And here comes God. 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. God says that a lot, doesn't he? They should have learned that God was their God back in Egypt. And certainly when he parted the Red Sea and destroyed the Egyptian army. And they did believe it for a time, but as soon as things got just a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit rough, they forgot that God was their God. And of course then they panicked. And it came to pass, verse 13, that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the host. So God sent them meat at night, quail. Verse 14, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And the small round substance is what God calls manna. And I think it's neat how God did this. Because if you check Numbers 11:9, you'll see that God placed a layer of dew on the ground, then the manna on top of that dew, and then more dew on top of the manna. And evidently that was God's way of keeping it clean for his people. Verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, which is just another way of saying, what is it? For they knew not what it was. And so they called it, what is it? And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. That's what it is. It's food directly from God. And don't worry about the ingredients, although it would be interesting to see, to have it analyzed if we had some. 16. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take you every man for them which are in his tent. So just take enough for each person for that particular day that God gives it. 17. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less, according to what they needed. And when they did meet it within omer, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating, and everybody was satisfied because they followed the directions that God gave them. And that is the key to being satisfied. That is the key to having joy, walking in obedience to God, following his directions that he gives us in his holy word. That really is the key to enjoying life. 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it until morning. That's a direct command from God. 20. Notwithstanding. And of course, the Israelites never saw a commandment that they didn't want to break. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to Moses, but some of them left it until morning, and it bred worms and stunk, and Moses was angry with them, because they disobeyed God. 21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So God gave, but notice, they had to gather. God provided, but they had to labor. God takes care of the birds of the air, but the birds of the air don't lay around their nest all day waiting for angels to drop worms in their mouths. God takes care of his animals, but squirrels don't play tag in the trees all day. They gather acorns and twigs and anything else they can find to eat. And that's how God supplies our needs. 22. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And I think they thought that the Israelites were disobeying God again by gathering too much. 23. And he said to them, "This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that you will seethe, and that which remains overlay up for you to be kept until the morning." So they were all excited, and they were jumping to conclusion that the Israelites were disobeying God again, when in fact they were following the Word of God. We need to check out the facts and compare them with Scripture before we condemn someone. 24. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses bid, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And so we see that God doubled the shelf life of this manna, the manna that they picked on the sixth day, because by his command, it had to last for 2 days. So it truly was miracle food from a miracle God. 25. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field." So you obeyed God, you got twice as much, now you got something to eat. 26. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Don't even bother going out and looking for it. Nothing complicated about that command from God. It's clear enough and simple enough for a child to understand, right? Just like the vast majority of Scripture. Doesn't have to be interpreted, just has to be believed and followed. And what God said here was gather twice as much on Friday, because he says, "I'm not sending any on Saturday." Well, very easy to understand, right? Well, look at 27. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Some didn't gather twice as much on Friday as God commanded. So now on Saturday, they don't have anything to eat. Whose fault is that? Verse 28. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws?" You know, God is making his word simple to understand. Why is it that you people aren't following it? Don't you get it? I'm trying to do what is best for you. I want what's best for you. And you keep shooting yourself in the foot. 29. "See, for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." Don't go looking for it. Don't do any work. If you didn't pick twice as much on Friday, well, then you're just going to have to be hungry for a day. Maybe they'll learn to follow the word of God if it hurts a little bit to disobey it. Some people only learn the hard way. 30. So the people rested on the seventh day. And then it says in verse 31, "And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." Whatever manna was, it was clear that the Israelites never had seen it before. It was created by God to meet the special needs of his people at that particular time in the wilderness. They couldn't grow food because they were on the move. There weren't any stores in the wilderness either, so to sustain his people, God chose to give them a miracle supply of food to keep them going. 32. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commands. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." So God wants them to pick some manna up and set it aside as a memorial. And what's really amazing is this stuff is going to last for centuries. The shelf life goes from one day, 5 days a week, to 2 days to cover the Sabbath, to centuries, because God wants it to be a memorial. 33. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot, put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth part of an ephah. So they ate manna for 40 years. They received manna from God until they no longer needed it. And when they arrived at the promised land, the manna stopped because they were able to harvest the crops from the land. So God supplies our needs in different ways at different times in our life. Changing circumstances do not hinder God from being able to supply what we need. You know, God doesn't mind change. He doesn't have to work through changes or adjust his thinking to adapt to different circumstances. He doesn't worry about any of that stuff. God is way out in front of any changes that his people may be walking into. Always remember that.